Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, and we want to thank you for calling in to the show this day, tuning in from your laptops, computers, from your iPhones, from your Android phones, and all of that. So we just want to thank you once again for tuning in. We're coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I just want to introduce my co-host today. Tonight, I think it's just me and Mr. Ronnie Ambrose. Ronnie, how you doing, sir?
Yep. I'm good. How you doing, Raz?
Oh, man, I'm know what? I'm hyped for tonight's show, man. I think we got a good one in the man. It's just me and you tonight, brother. But I think we got it on lockdown. I think we it's going to be a good show, man. Hey, Ronnie, real quick, man, what did you think about last week's show, bro?
Last week's show was I think it was real cool. I appreciate it, and I actually learned from it. When those ladies got to going and bringing in their point of view, it was strong. It was strong. I liked it.
Man, that's awesome, bro. That's a good thing. Man, I think that, hey, did you ever get a chance to see that new Iron Man movie, bro?
Iron Man? Not yet. You know, my bro saw it, and I'm hearing that it was better than the first one, but I haven't had a chance to go check it out yet.
Okay. Looks like we got a call in from 951 area code. It could be a co-host that's added to the show today. Hello, call from the 951 area code.
Yeah, that's me, Raz. Hey.
What's up?
No.
Yeah,
hello, caller. How you doing? Who's this?
This is Dave.
Dave, what's up, brother? How you doing? Dave Williams?
Yes, sir.
Yes, man. Dave Williams, just want to thank you to Can We Talk Radio. We're talking about a really interesting topic, which we're going to kind of disclose to the public in a few seconds here. But, Dave, this is your first time to the show, and I wanted to see what you have you been listening to our previous show before?
I haven't caught the previous show, but, I look forward to catching it from now on. But good to be here for tonight.
All right. Okay, well, guys, we have Dave online, and he's going to be contributing to today's show. And it looks like we've got three co-hosts, man. So, Ronnie, let's get into today's topic, man. But real quick,
I want to
give a couple of shout-outs to Ms. Sonia Shari in Maryland. I want to give a shout-out to Jackie in Arkansas. And I want to give a shout-out to our main co-host, Alicia Cheney. She was not in the building today, unfortunately. She had to be away in, I think she's in Mississippi or Memphis or something like that.
Wow.
So if you're listening, Alicia, we miss you and look forward to you coming back. And, the show's definitely different without you. You know what I mean? You got some crazy energy, and we always appreciate your input. So hurry up and come back, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. And hopefully you saw the movie Temptation. If you have not, don't come back to the show until you do. Anyways, man, guys, if you want to call into the show, to today's show, if you have a question or comment, you can call us at 347-945-7310. Again, that number is 347 845-7310. You can also email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. All right, so guys, we've got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about identifying emotional manipulators.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really interesting topic. Emotional manipulators are can be very harmful, dangerous, as a matter of fact, and even difficult to deal with. These individuals are adept at disguising themselves, often pretending to be kind, loving, altruistic, and sacrificial. They are skilled at finding victims, i.e. codependents, who are susceptible to their beguiling charm, deceit, manipulation, and deceiving control tactics. Understanding the insidious nature of these unhealthy and often harmful individuals will greatly enhance one's ability to identify and therefore protect themselves from these dangerous personality disordered individuals. Tonight, at today's show, we're going to kind of talk about how to diagnose this in people, how to identify this, and therefore how to disarm such people when they enter into your life. But, you know, guys, you're in for a treat tonight because Mr. Ronnie Ambrose is actually going to take over co-hosting tonight. I'm going to take a chill pill and relax a little bit. So, Ronnie, I'm going to give you the floor,
yep,
sir, and I'll let you have the floor.
Right on. Well, thank you, Raz. Thank you, Raz. And thank you for everybody listening. You know, I hope this is to your benefit. I hope you leave with something you can use or some confirmation, something that will lead you to the truth. But our topic tonight is identifying emotional manipulators / wolves in sheep clothing. And so wolves in sheep clothing, they come in many forms, and not just people, but sometimes situations and feelings. But regardless of what form they come in, keep in mind that they are on assignment from the enemy, the liar, the murderer. You got to keep in mind, anytime you're dealing with a wolf in sheep clothing, a form of deception, a form of manipulation, know that it's coming directly from the enemy. And so, and its purpose is to cause death, and destruction to your life and to your family, your goals, you know, your business, the things that you're looking forward to, that you're trying to roll smoothly with. These wolves or these manipulators or deceivers are really trying to pretty much mess up your game. So to keep that in mind, also remember that some of these wolves are wolves without even knowing that they're on assignment. You know, some of the people that might enter your life might not know exactly the role that they're playing. They might not notice the monkey wrench that they're being. You know what I'm saying? And so regardless, we need to identify them, because so they could cause stagnation, they could delay us. So we just want to be aware, you know, as people on this earth, and we're going to confront this tactic. And so I just want to maybe pass it around a little bit and see, like, what would you consider a wolf in sheep clothing or an emotional manipulator? Raz?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ronnie. Well, manipulation sometimes, a lot of times, is not easy to identify, and relationships can be destroyed or situations can be destroyed without knowing that. I think that if you look at the scripture in Ephesians 4:14, says that we will henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Right.
I remember as a kid, I read this story. It was about Aesop's fable about the wolf who, what he did was, yep, in order to attack the sheep and eat the sheep, he had disguised himself as a sheep, and he kind of hid amongst the sheep at nighttime, and the shepherd kind of locked the pen so the sheep couldn't get out. But unbeknownst to the wolf, who was disguised as a sheep, he kind of came in. The shepherd came in to kill the sheep for meat, and as he was amongst them, the wolf got killed in the process. Man, so
yeah.
That just kind of came to mind when talking about that. But I feel that I kind of feel that the it's important to kind of look at why people become emotionally manipulators, and I believe that behind every root of emotional manipulation is the need or the urge to control another person or a situation. So I would go as far as to say that it can be a function of witchcraft. What do you think about my comment?
I totally agree because you know, manipulation pretty much is witchcraft. You know, if you look at the way you have to go about manipulating, it requires like an emotional sleight of hand.
Absolutely. Ronnie, it looks like we have David back on the line. David, you there?
Yeah, I hear you, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it still too much feedback for you?
Oh, no, you're good, Dave. Ronnie was just asking us about manipulation, the most manipulation, and what do you think about it? What do you think about today's topic?
Okay, well, I mean, it's an interesting topic. And, you know, first and foremost, I would say that, you know, no one has any power over you except that which you give them. So, you know, in this particular case, you know, if you find yourself being manipulated by someone, then, you know, at some juncture, you know, you've given over that power to them. So perhaps, we're talking about, you know, a Christian man, you know, dealing with a woman. You know, if you've entered into a sinful relationship, then, you know, all bets are off. I don't think anybody has the power to manipulate you as long as you're following, you know, what the Lord wants you to do, you know, to a T. And then on top of that, if you're, you know, although you're dealing with that individual, you're measuring everything against what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't fall into any kind of sinful relation, you know, sexual relations, you know, outside of marriage, you know, I am certain that God will protect you, you know, from such people. And, you know, he will be the first one to surgically remove them from your life. But, you know, like I said, you know, if you happen to fall into, you know, sexual sin, you know, then, you know, all bets are off then. I mean, you know, then you're gonna have to take your licks, you know, and find out the hard way. But, you know, like I say, I mean, you know, you give people the power to manipulate you.
very good point. I would say that manipulators are people that use deception. They could be from all walks of life. They use deception to cover up their true motives because they think they'll never get what they want if they really level with people. Meanwhile, the people they manipulate end up feeling confused, angry, frustrated, and even have resentment. Manipulative people can be people, you know, a pastor at your church. Hopefully not. It could be somebody. It could be a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a wife, or a husband. It could be a mother. It could be a father. It could be friends. It could be somebody in business. It could be somebody who is, you know, who again, whose intent is to deceive.
Right. David, you wanna put some thoughts in that question. Who are these manipulators? Who would you label these manipulators if you had to?
Yeah, well, Rank did a fairly nice list there. I mean, you know, it could be, you know, people in your immediate family, brothers, sisters. It could be, you know, a parent. It could be extended family. It could be, you know, someone that you're involved in a relationship with. You know, I think the common thread there would just be that, you know, in some form or fashion, they are gaining something from manipulating you. So, you know, they are using you as a crutch, you know, in some form or fashion. And that is, you know, usually, you know, is what leading to the manipulation, you know, itself. I mean, you're in some form or fashion enabling them, you know, from some, you know, dysfunction that's going on in their life.
That's right.
So, you know, they have this desire and this need to control you for some reason, some benefit, you know, something, you know, to that extent. So, yeah, what Brad said, you know, was right on the mark. I mean, you know, it could be, you know, really anyone around you that you could possibly have communication that you could have a dialogue with.
Ronnie, if you will, I want to add that people that towards emotional and people that can intimidate, people that use their power to threaten you into compliance, they will use threats, anger, withholding, and punishment to get their way. Generally, people will exploit your fears, doubts, and weaknesses. Dependents, people that project themselves as helpless onto you to make you feel responsible, take responsibility for them. Pretenders, people that pretend not to understand what you are saying or hear your concerns, they turn your statements and actions around and use them negatively towards you. They use manipulation to convince you that your concerns are small or non-existent to avoid dealing with them. And I would say, last but not least, I would say people that projectors, people that accuse you of being emotionally manipulative and having the characteristics that they accuse you of. So, that's my comment, brother.
Right on. You know what I would like to bring up, so, you know, this doesn't get categorized as like we're trying to slander anybody or point anyone out, but I want to present the question, why identify the wolves? Because personally, I would want the wolves identified, or I would want this topic to be brought up so that the people that might be affected, you know, could be protected or aware or armed with some kind of discernment to know, you know, when they're dealing with a manipulative person. Because if they're coming in as, wolves in sheep's clothing, if you will, you won't be able to notice them right off. You would have to identify them. So, you know, this topic is to at least get you a level of awareness on identifying these wolves in sheep's clothing, whether they be people, situations, you know, or your own feelings. So, That's what I wanted to know. I wanted to ask maybe David, would you give a reason for identifying these wolves?
That's a good question. I would say this much, like as far as myself, I really don't get bogged down in the focus on people.
Right.
So I don't know whether that makes sense. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So in my mind now, I'm not focusing on the individual, you know, foul people that I come in contact with. I'm focusing on the spirit that's operating in those individuals and learning, you know, to war on the spiritual level, you know, rather than, you know, set my sights towards, you know, physical war or, you know, war with, you know, tangible individuals, and just realizing that, you know, many of these people that we come across that are not, they're just puppets. You know, they're just merely puppets being used, come in and take away your peace of mind, take away your joy, you know, take away your happiness, Raz had mentioned something about, you know, bring up fear and things of these nature. I mean, we know that dealing with God, that, you know, he's not the author of confusion. You know, so whenever we have, you know, in our life, you know, individuals that come into our life and something's not quite right in your dealings with them, I mean, there's not peace there, that's a pretty good barometer that, you know, this is a puppet of the enemy. So just to, you know, to make a long story short, if you will, I just do my best to focus on, you know, kind of the spiritual battle rather than, you know, focusing on and identifying, you know, the actual people.
That's right. So with that, Dave, could you give us a reason to see it in that perspective? The spiritual? The spiritual.
Say you cut out on that first part.
Could you just, give us a reason for actually approaching it the way that you do, spiritually?
Well, you know, because, I mean, that is where the battle with that is in the spiritual realm. And you're going to, you know, you're going to spend a lot of your time knocking your head against the wall, you know, fighting against people. And then, once the enemy knows that, you know, he can push buttons through people, he's never going to cease to do so. So, you know, it's also a way of sending a message to the enemy that, hey, you know, I'm spiritually mature. You know, I'm on another level. So no matter who he's against, I'm gonna recognize it for what it is. And, you know, I'm not going to get caught up in the battle with me and that person, but I'm going to recognize who the true enemy is. And it's you, you know, Satan. You know, it's you. It's not, you know, Joe Blow here. You know what I'm saying? So that's the reason, just to send the message to the enemy that I'm gonna call him out personally. You know, and I'm laughing and, you know, scheming and plotting, but I'm going to call him out. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to swing that sword in the spirit directly at him.
Mm.
So, that makes sense?
Oh, man, that makes truth. That makes truth. And so, you see what I'm glad you brought this up, because for the listeners that are dealing with things of this nature, who maybe have spent their time blaming a person, you know, I pray that they were able to get something from that, get some sort of weaponry from that. The fact that it's not necessarily that person, but the spirit that's operating in that person. And so, you know, that will make your battle, you'll be able to hit the target that's really the culprit, which is the enemy. And so,
if you don't mind, go ahead, Ron.
No, you go ahead.
I was saying that we have a caller from the 951 area code, 227. Hello, caller, you there?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, is this Daryl?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Daryl. Hey, Daryl, thanks for calling to the show, Can We Talk Radio. Where are you calling from, Daryl?
I'm in Oxnard, California.
Wonderful. Daryl, what do you think of today's topic?
I was just tuning in. I'm just listening right now. My first time calling in. Just hearing, you know, just what's going on. I agree with the guy who was talking about he's on another level where he's no longer focusing on the person. He's focusing on more the spirit of the person. I happen to be just started doing that. Well, not just started. I've been doing it for a while now. And like you said, you call out the demons in that person, and they'll show their true flesh and reveal themselves if they're a Christian person, a person by faith and not by sight, or if they're wolf clothing. It's hard, but once you tap into the will of God and allow him to direct you, it's easier to see those wolves that are lingering around as Christians. And sometimes some people don't even know that they are wolves in sheep clothing. They just go about it because that's what they're used to. So you got to stay prayed up. And I learned that it's better to go by faith than go by sight, because our sight will want more, our flesh yearn for more, but the spirit only asks for one thing, and to see another person's spirit of God, where their belief is at, where their faith is at, how their walk is, what their talk is. But by sight, and that's how we fall into that category of being taken, being hurt, being broken, being misused, being misled. And like you were saying, we blame others when it's actually our walk. So I'm listening, and I agree with the guy. I no longer go ahead.
That's real. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's the true solution, folks. You know, ain't no need to make you wait for the true key. The true key, if anyone is dealing with some kind of obstruction that a person is being, you heard it here from two Bible-believing brothers that it's not that person. It's actually the Spirit working through that person. Whether you know it or not, that there are forces, principalities, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world that are vying for space all the time. And if you're not a believer, if you're not covered by the blood of the Savior, you're pretty much making yourself vulnerable, and you're pretty much leaving yourself at their disposal. So I pray everybody keep that fact that if you're going through something, even with a parent, with a friend, they might not even know that they're being an obstruction. But the Spirit that's working in them knows what they're doing to you. So you want to get to the root of it, and the root of it is spiritual. And so that really pretty much answers this next question I would ask was, what would the manipulator or what would the deceiver or the wolf in sheep's clothing have in common? They're probably under the authority of some negative force, demonic force. And so
yes.
Did anyone want to add on to that?
Yes, if you don't mind. Well, I just want to quickly add to what David was saying and what Dow was saying. Another reason why Satan will bring, when we're talking from a spiritual perspective, because everything starts from the spirit. Whether you're a believer, whatever stage of life you're in right now, you may be a non-believer, you may not even believe in God, but if you listen to this show is from a biblical perspective, and we understand that everything is derived from a spiritual origin. And if you want, I want to kind of bring this to your attention, because I was thinking about today's topic, and I thought about a security guard. If I'm going to the bank, and you know sometimes when you walk into the banks, you see security guards posted at the door or inside the bank. They don't post a security guard 100 miles away from the bank. They post him at the bank. So Satan will always send a guard at the brink of where your destiny is going to pop open. You see what I'm saying? And I say that because when God is trying to get you to the next level, there's going to be some resistance, and often that resistance comes in the form of a wolf in sheep's clothing or an emotional manipulator. For example, case in point, let's look at Delilah. Delilah wasn't really, the Bible doesn't really call her a good-looking woman or a very sexy woman, but she had a way of gassing up Samson and really making him feel good. But she was not really the enemy. She was the wolf in sheep's clothing that brought the enemy in, which was who were the Philistines. And, you know, so that's an example of how the enemy can use a wolf in sheep's clothing to really disarm you and rob you from getting to the next level. Because Samson, he was anointed to become a judge of Israel. And he was anointed to take the nation of Israel to a higher level. You know, so that's one example of just going answering that question. But anyway, just, you know, what was your question again, Ronnie?
No, I was just I'm glad that the brothers brought it to the root of the situation, and so that we could inform or help some people to the truth that you know, no matter what you're dealing with, the root of it is spiritual. No matter what you're dealing with. And so the thing is, you want to have your mind set, as David said, to not even fall for what you're seeing, but actually look into what is the root, what is the spirit behind this situation or this person, whatever it may be. I just want to encourage everybody to look into Ephesians 6 and see that, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We, meaning believers, you know, And it's like that for the whole, for all humanity. There are spiritual forces we have to be aware of, and they are using people, deceivers. And so the reason why we need to identify these wolves in sheep clothing or these manipulators that might be being used is because their deception to carry you away from the truth. Their deception can carry you away from the peace that you have or your purpose in life. So you really do want to put your spiritual foot down and not allow, you know, somebody who's being controlled, whether they know it or not, to interfere with God's plan for you. And so while dealing with that, I just want to ask, you know, maybe we'll start with Dave. Who do you think would fall for something like that? Who do you think would fall for these manipulators? Who would be the codependents that would actually want to be manipulated?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Yeah.
Okay. Was that question directed towards me?
Yeah.
I guess I would just say that the easy answer is, you know, the individual that, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, sets out to actually want to be manipulated. But I think, you know, one of the key factors is, you know, and I can really only address this, you know, just in terms of like, you know, relationships with manipulation between a man and a woman, and just in terms of, you know, once you've entered into a sinful relationship with someone, you know, and through that, you know, all manner of things can develop through that. I mean, once, you know, you've kind of, you know, crossed over into that sinful realm.
That's right. You know, all
bets are off then. So I'm not sure, you know, whether someone's out there and they actively want to be manipulated. You know, so that's my two cents.
That's cool. I really hear what you're saying, because I totally agree with you. Once you take yourself out of God's will or out of God's protection or out of God's, you know, way of doing things, you pretty much, you know, leave yourself wide open for everything that comes with being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so, so Raz, you know, who crosses your mind? Who do you think actually gives a place to these deceivers and manipulators?
Thanks very much for that question, Ronnie. I would say weak-minded people. Sometimes when there's an unhealthy desire or weakness in you, for example, let's just say that a man has a tendency to fall for certain types of women. Let me use myself as an example. I like women with big booties and voluptuous women. So the enemy could use that as a lure to get me to be into woman, knowing that I'm caught up because she's got a banging body. Now, as a consequence, he sent me a manipulator, a wolves in sheep's clothing, because he somehow appealed to my carnal nature. That was the allure that got me in there, and it satisfied one need, but on the spiritual level, not at all. So yeah. I think one thing in common for all manipulators is that they know how to exploit a weakness in an individual.
Well, you know, if I had to add on to that, you know, who would be someone that will want that? Sometimes somebody who's in a vulnerable state. If somebody who's in a vulnerable state, maybe fresh off a relationship or fresh off of some kind of hurt or some kind of loss, they might be viewed as prey. And that's why we as believers need to, you know, I don't have any other way to say it, but we do need to be in each other's business so that we can help each other through things, so that we don't leave anybody, you know, out there and vulnerable to get plucked off by the wolves in sheep clothing out there. And so pretty much this wolves in sheep clothing topic, you know, pertains to you, whether you're in the body of Christ or not, because the world is a deceptive place. You know, there's, you know, even the commercials are lies. So, you know, you do have to keep your guard up, and you do have to be using your discernment so that you don't get yourself into a wreck physically and spiritually, you know, dealing with other people, going into business ventures. You still want to be able to spot a wolf in sheep clothing. And so I want to get into maybe a few ways to identify a wolf in sheep clothing or a manipulator. I'm about to go through the scripture here in Matthew 7:15, which says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really ravenous wolves. Whatever you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way that they act." And so, what? I got a list of, I got a list here of little cues that the deceivers give off. But before we get to that, I'd like to just, you know, go around and get everybody's, you know, opinion on identifying them. The scripture says they're going to be around, and you'll know them by how they act. Is Sunny Dave still there? Dave.
Looks like we got some feedback on Dave's. Dave, if you can hear us, can you please call back? We've lost your signal. He might be on the road.
What would cue you, or what would prompt you to see that, well, I might be dealing with a wolf in sheep clothing? You got any clues?
Was that to me or to Darryl?
To you. Oh,
okay.
Daryl's on the line. Let's see what Daryl's got to say.
Yeah, this is Daryl. I'm listening, and to me, identifying a wolf in sheep clothing or someone that's either being manipulated or actually manipulating someone else, is what you said. Like I said, I like what you said. How it's not being in the will of God. We as human beings have to know that Satan has no control over our life. Satan's only a tempter. He can't control us. He can't manipulate us. He can only tempt us. And by our fruits, by our ways, and by our fruits determine on which way we're going to go. God gave us the will. He gave us a way. We can either choose right or wrong. Satan only can tempt us to do certain things and be a certain way. If you're bearing good fruits and you know you're doing everything by the will of God, if you just pay attention to your behavior, I always learned that I'm not supposed to worry about what the other person's doing, because as long as I'm doing the will of God, God is not going to bring someone in there that's going to manipulate me. Satan will tempt me, just like Brother Rez says. He likes girls with big butts. Well, by saying that, he allows Satan the pathway to tempt him with a woman with a big butt. And it's not that God sent the woman in his way to manipulate him, but he opened up the pathway for Satan to tempt him with the girl with the big butt. But a girl with a big butt or a nice shape or body can come into your life. And if you're prayed up and if you go by faith and you believe and you read the scripture and you love God, that one with the big butt can be a blessing to you, not a hindrance to you or a manipulator to you. You allowing yourself to get caught up in the free world, so to speak, by sight, because you see something and you're tempted by it, doesn't mean you have to go at it with the flesh. If you stay prayed up and go at it with the spirit, then you'll have a righteous woman. You'll have a good life, and neither one is tempted. But sometimes what comes upon us is not to tempt that the person that is the wolf. We ourselves can be the wolf and don't even realize it. Because our lust for certain things, may it be the right job, the right car, the biggest house, the nice girl, our lust for those things can turn us into wolves. And we're the one that are wolf in the sheep clothing because we want it, so we're going to act a certain way to get it. We're not being true to who we are. I learned that even as a Christian man, back in my days when I didn't think I was a manipulator, I was lured in by temptation. And with my likeness for that temptation caused me to be someone I'm not. So here I am, going to church, prayed up. Meanwhile, I'm not the man I'm supposed to be because I will bend my rules. May have I stopped reading as much as I used to read, stopped going to church as much as I used to go to church, tithing, everything I used to do to please the Lord. Now I'm doing those things to please this woman. So now I'm hanging out at clubs, having sex before marriage, and that makes us the wolf. That person is still who she was at that particular point in her life, whatever she believes and wants. We change it. So we're now becoming the wolf and thinking that because we like this or that's what we desire causes us to change who we are. So we have, that's why when you speak about being prayed up and be in the spirit now instead of being in the flesh, walking in the spirit will actually pinpoint, is this a good person for me? Is that a good person? I learned that when I meet someone, I don't want to be around you as much as I used to because I'm learning, I'm looking more at you, your body. I want to get closer to your body. I want to know what you feel like. I want to know what you, how you make love and stuff like that. I'm no longer trying to see where your spirit's at. I'm no longer trying to see what type of fruits are you bearing. If you're a Christian woman, if you go to church, if you pray, if you tithe, I'm no longer looking at that. So I took the sight out and start going by the Spirit and letting the Lord lead me to that right place. Man, like I said, I just recently got my own truck. I got my own business. That wasn't because I went out and worked hard. I prayed about it, and I did everything I was supposed to do in the spirit world for God to bless me with this. I was working before I got it. So that wasn't the problem. I had to fix me as a person. And like you said, get all that bad feeling and get all that walking, like, you know, I see this, I want it. I see that, I got to have it. That's when we become, that's when the spirits of evil enter our bodies and we become somebody that we weren't. And it takes us out of the will of God. And even though God doesn't leave us, he leaves us, he lets us be until we need him and to come back to him so he can continue working on us. So identifying wolves, and like I always say, look in the mirror and see if you're doing anything that pleases God, because the other person or the other thing may not be lined up with God, but as long as you stay lined up with God and your walk with God is right, it doesn't matter who you come across, because you're not going to allow that bad spirit to enter your good spirit. You want to continue on walking in faith. And if it's for you, if God is for you, who could be against you? So if you could be tempted by the beauty of the world, or you can walk in faith, continue being blessed by the Lord, because your spirit is with the Lord, your fruits are bearing, you're bearing good fruit. So I used to be a wolf, and not that I set to be out that way, but I learned that I changed to suit somebody else, and even I know they're not walking right, I allow myself to get lured in. So we can't blame it on the other person. We got to actually take accountability for ourselves. Why do we end up this way?
Right. Thanks, Daryl. And this is a perspective of the Bible believer right here. You know, regardless of the tricks and the schemes and the possibilities of failure and obstruction, if you're in right standing with the Father, you're going to avoid all of it because God is with you. And so, Raz, I wanted to ask you, you know, what do you do to actually spot the wolf in sheep clothing or the situation? Because it's not necessarily a person. You know, as Daryl made it clear, you know, you could be getting into a situation because of, you know, your own desire, but we want to identify these things so that we can keep power over them. So, Raz, how do you go about identifying some of these obstructions or deceptions or deceivers?
Absolutely, and that definitely made a very good point that we can become wolves in sheep's clothing ourselves because we're lured away by the desires of our heart and the lust of our heart. But I also want to add to that you know, there's people listening to the show right now that are at different stages in their walks with God. Some may not even believe in God and may not be, you know, and sometimes, you know, it may not be so easy to spot, you know, because the devil is a deceiver. You know, we know that he uses illusions and suggestions and all these things, of course, you know, and things are very tempting sometimes and very captivating. You know, so God says that his people perish because of lack of knowledge. So I think that it's important for us to discuss some of the things, some of the protocols that we can use in the natural, as well as definitely, you know, using God's wisdom to identify, like you were saying, certain areas of how to, you know, identify, you know, emotional manipulators and wolves in sheep's clothing. I think that some evidence of emotional manipulators, wolves in sheep's clothing, would be, you know, people that, I would say, you know, people that veer towards emotional manipulation, such as, you know, we talked about intimidators, pretenders. I also feel like people who always try to create some sort of, you know, always try to create this, try to take control over the emotional environment.
Right.
You know, they have an ability to impact the emotional climate around them. If they're sad or angry, you know what I'm saying? That can, you know, like a pretty female who goes to a guy and says, oh, you know what, I'm sad. And a guy who wants to, you know, show that he's the man and wants to save the woman, he's gonna be suckered into that kind of situation. And that's happened to many men.
Right.
You know.
I get it.
You know, I would say also that sometimes they can, emotional manipulators can run guilt trips on you. They could be excellent guilt mongers, make you feel guilty for speaking out or speaking up about something. You know,
okay.
They can also come in the form of willing helpers, helping you in your time of need, exploiting your weakness. You know, and because you're down and you need the help, you accept it anyway. You know, and before you know it, you're kind of caught up. And some people are not very socially skilled, so they don't know how to say no. They're very nice people. They don't know how to, you know, they don't have healthy boundaries. They don't know how to set healthy boundaries to ward off that kind of suggestions. You know, so those are some of the ways I would say that emotional manipulators can gain entry into some of the.
Right on. Well, and so, you know, today's topic is we're dealing with emotional manipulators / wolves in sheep clothing. You know, this is something that pertains to all humanity, whether you're saved or not. You know, we urge you to get saved if you're not. You know, just call on the Lord or the Savior and accept the Father's love and kindness by becoming, you know, by coming in the flesh, shedding his blood so that we could live forever. And so we just dealt with a few things as far as, you know, we find manipulators in all sorts of realms, and we dealt with some general topics, and we picked up a few keys as far as solutions to spot it and to see it and to, first of all, look at it in a spiritual perspective, because everyone is a spiritual being, everything has a spiritual root. And so we just urge you to get in your Bibles and, you know, get some good teaching on the truth into you. And so I feel we were dealing with both sides of the table, because there is a difference between being in the body of Christ or in church or in the world or in society. And so in society, we got to watch for wolves in sheep's clothing, liars and manipulators. And we need to keep our radars up in society. And right now I want to deal with the wolves in sheep's clothing, the persons. Well, you know, they probably are attached to some sort of entity, but the wolves in sheep's clothing that affect us in the church. So I just want to start it off with this perspective. The wolves in sheep clothing, I'm not necessarily limiting it to the pastors, but I'm putting the responsibility on both sides of the pulpit. And so the concern that I mostly have is that when we as believers, you know, whether we're in the church or not, when we as believers become wolves in sheep clothing, we actually turn off humanity to the kindness of the Father. So I just want to pose this question maybe to Daryl. You know, have any concerns or any encouragements for the body of Christ as far as, you know, setting a better example in that area?
You're asking as far as identifying wolves in sheep clothing in the body of the church, or how do we deal with it?
I would rather hear the deal with it so we could get some solutions, because when we're not in line with each other, and when we're deceiving each other and causing each other problems, we're a turnoff to the rest of the world.
Yes.
So if you could, yeah, come with how to deal with it.
Okay. In my experience, I'm learning to pray on it, and it's to pick up from the beginning when I first clicked it, when I heard you. You made a comment about we ought to be able to talk to each other to come up with the solutions and how to deal with them. I'm learning that in order to defeat the enemy, like you said, you got to call him out. You got to face him head on. It's like I learned that before I speak to anyone now, I pray about it and ask Lord to give me the knowledge to know how to come at this person without offending this person, and so they know that when I'm coming to them, I'm coming to them with love and concern about how they are behaving or how they're making me feel of their behavior. I'm glad you brought it up because last Sunday when I was in church, my pastor brought it up about we have to be careful because there's people in the church who you know that's a Christian, they walk like a Christian, but not knowing it can take advantage of other Christians and not even know it. So we have to learn how to communicate better with each other as a Christian so the non-believers can see us Christians get along, because in my past, if I'm calling myself a Christian and I'm speaking to my brother or sister in Christ, they get offended more than when you try to correct them or you try to point out some things or you try to display your feelings about a certain thing, a topic, an issue, a circumstances. And it's usually the Bible or who has the most wit. So my solution to it is, learn to speak to your fellow Christian as you would speak to your child. When you speak to a child, your intent is not to attack that child, but you're trying to teach them right and wrong. And no matter how old you are and no matter how long you've been in the church, we all have failings. And if we come at each other where it seems like we're attacking their spirit or we're attacking their Christianity, they go into defense mode. But if you talk to them as you would talk to a child, to let them know that you still love them and you're there to help them, we can come up with the solutions to identify, like you said, identify the circumstances and issues that we may come to, because not everything or everyone or everybody is a wolf in sheep clothing. It's to be the way we got up. The circumstances that we put ourselves into are just life itself. It's just the beating of life itself. It's just hardening your soul in some areas, and in other areas, you're still a believer. Like I said, just to tell my story, I've been married twice, and each time both females did the same thing to me, cheated and, you know, lied and took things from me. Well, I can't blame that on nobody but myself, because I should have seen that. If I would have spent more time learning the spirit, I would have been able to recognize instead of paying more attention to their body. So I learned to be a speak to a person, woman, man, whatever the case may be, whatever God meant them to be in my life, I learned to talk to them so I can make a better person out of me and they could see the Christ-like in me and want to be able to be on that same page as me.
Right. Well, that's real good because I like the fact that you said we have to bring it up. We have to deal with it. We can't just sweep it under the rug. Do it with love. Do it gently. I'm going to take your advice as far as, you know, talking to the, you know, my brother or sister, you know, just like a kid. Not like they're dumb, but be gentle with them and their feelings. So
yeah.
I appreciate that. But, you know, for whoever listening, whoever might be going through something like that, definitely bring it up gently. But it does need to be brought up, dealt with, so that we can have the victory amongst us, so that we could share that with the rest of humanity. And so, Raz, you know, I'll pose, I guess, a similar question to you. As far as, you know, the scripture says to look out for wolves in sheep clothing, prophets, you know, us as the body of Christ, we should already know that. You're a Christian all the time, even in your neighborhood, and you might be the prophet in your neighborhood, even though you're not the pastor at your church. You know, you might be the light that's sent into whatever avenue or street that you live on. And so that makes you the prophet there. And so as people with that kind of responsibility, you know, I would like for you to address the importance of not having a double standard, because we know that the wolf sheep clothing looks a certain way but acts a different way. So that's a double standard. So if you could just encourage, you know, the believers as far as, you know, the double standard in their personal lives when they're not at church.
Absolutely, and I definitely wanted to kind of piggyback off what Daryl had said. I would like to add that that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and we have to be careful how we use it. You know, God sent his word to set men free, not to put them in bondage. I think another type of manipulation is when we use the word of God to put men into bondage, and we use the word against each other. I think that, you know, I think the Apostle Paul had mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, 1 and 2, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, so I think that, you know, we as believers definitely have to be an example, because people are watching us to identify what a Christ-like person is, because they don't know. They've never had that example. So it's very important. You know, even those Christians who are struggling with issues, as many of us had, that we do our best to walk uprightly before people that are looking towards us to as examples. I hope that answers your question.
Right on. You know, we were talking earlier, Raz. Didn't you have you brought up something earlier you wanted to ask?
You have to refresh my memory.
It had something to do with the wolves and sheep clothing, but regardless, you know, tonight's topic is the emotional manipulators, wolves and sheep clothing. Identifying them, you know, their traits, and, you know, some defenses that we can use. Some of the defenses we went over was actually seeing it spiritually, because that's its root, approaching it with gentleness and kindness, because you don't want to offend the person. They might not even know they're being a hindrance. And so, you know, as a believer, we're called to a higher standard. You know, we're called to see things spiritually. That doesn't mean spacey, but just know that before whatever manifested, whatever the situation, before the situation was tangible, it was already the effect of something spiritual. So, you know, be spiritually minded, be gentle in approaching these things, whether at work or, you know, in your amongst your congregation. And so, you know, I wanted to ask Daryl. I wanted to ask Daryl, you know, because you're bringing in some good points. Now, for the non-believer, if you were to speak to a non-believer about seeing things spiritually, because that's what we're called to do, how would you go about doing that?
For my job, I do come across a lot of non-believers that there's only one person I ever met that is truly a non-believer, a true atheist. And after speaking with him and asking him why he was an atheist, he really could never really answer me. It was just the way he was brought up. So when I speak to, when I'm out on the road and I come across somebody who may question, you know, like asking, oh, so you're a Christian? You know, why do you decide to be a Christian? I said, well, look at it this way. When you grew up, there was somebody that you believed in. It may have been a bear, a teddy bear, a superhero, comic book hero. You believed in something. And that something made you feel good. I told him, I said, well, the person that I believe in not only made me feel good, but he gave me everything that I'd ever asked for. And yes, there's some consequences with that when I'm not doing right. Just like when you get in trouble with your mom, there's some consequences. I said, but I believe in God because that's the only person I know that loves me for who I am and don't judge me for what I've done in the past or what I've done even in my present life, and I ask for forgiveness. And then I'll go about telling them the things that I've done because I'm no saint at all whatsoever. And I told them that even though that some of us take credit for everything we do, my life, I always travel. I've been in plenty of accidents. Even if I didn't cause it, I see so much on the road. and I go and I explain. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, and I talked to him about my life and the things that I've been through, and I said I couldn't get myself through that because I'm not in control of that. Mm-hmm. And, like, some of the things that, I mean, like, I had guns pulled on me, I've been stabbed, I've been in car accidents, I see trucks turn over, I see dead bodies land on the side of the road. And that's just the bad side of it. The good side of it is that even though I lived a life of a thug, a gangster, a hustler, never got caught up in it. I never really took on a life. I learned that all things that come fast goes faster. And all the mm-hmm. things that I worked hard for, prayed about, I still have. So my way I talk to a non-believer is I use me, and I tell them the good, the bad, the worst, the ugly about me, but then I say, but look at me today. I have people who love me. I have people who want to be around me. I have people that will call me and ask me for advice. I said, even though there's some people that may not like me, I said, I don't ask for everybody in the world to like me. I just want to be appreciated. I just want to be accountable for something. So you don't have to like me, but just accept me. You may not agree with everything I say, so when you see me on a straight street, don't talk about me. Just accept me for who I am. That's all I ask. And after I talk to him, he's like, oh, man, you know, that's deep. You know, I think I might have to start looking into that. I said, well, if you haven't started, I'll tell him, I'm no preacher. I said, you know, I'm no Bible scholar. I'm not a guy that can quote scriptures as good as everybody else. However, I'm a guy that can give you a Bible. I can tell you the things that happened to me in my life and how I was able to come through. I should not even be here today. And only by the grace of God that knows my heart is the reason why I'm here. And
I know.
That's my sermon to others that are non-believers and some that are believers. I don't go out and tell them, oh, you do this, you do that. I say, I'm living proof. I say, you know, I am living proof that there is a God, and God loves me for who I am, and not just for the good deeds I do in life, but he accepts me for all the wrong I've done in life because he knows my heart. Sometimes we do things not out of evil, but sometimes we do things just to fit in, just to be a part of, just to be looked upon. So I learned to just live the life that God wants me to live, be the person that God grew me to be, and just love everybody that I come in contact with. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm a truck driver, but I treat everybody the way they treat me. And sometimes I got to ask God to forgive me because, you know, I'm out here and I deal with a lot of, you know, nonsense all on the road. However, I know God is for me. And that's my way I explain a non-believer to have them thinking about or actually, you know, tell them they're going to give their life to God and they're going to, you know, I have little pamphlets on my truck that I hand out. I get daily words from my church. I get a bunch of those so I can better pass them out to other truck drivers. You know, if even if you don't read the Bible, read this. It'll give you an insight on what God has to offer for you. So that's the way I talk to non-believers.
That's good. That's good. That's good. And I just wanted you to put that out there. I know that's a little off topic, but just so for the non-believer listeners can see that, you know, belonging to Christ is not about pretending to be perfect. It's just about understanding that the creator of the universe loved us enough to sacrifice himself so that we could have eternal life. It's not about being perfect. Once we understand that part of it, then your habits start to change and you start to get delivered, your appetite starts to change, and then, you know, it's just a progression and development. And so, you know, since we're on that, I want to bring up another wolf in sheep clothing. We're going to take this one outside of the true doctrine of the Bible. We're going to take this one outside, but another wolf in sheep's clothing could be found in, let me see, I'm going to try to categorize it in like New Age spiritualism or cults or occultic practices. You know, Raz, do you think you could shed some light on that kind of wolf in sheep clothing? Because it gives the person who's not aware, you know, on the outside it looks like I'm being spiritual. But we as Bible readers know that once you accept somebody else's hand for help, you neglect the hand that made you. So you think you could shed some light on that kind of wolf in sheep clothing, the seducing spiritualism and occultic practices?
Wow, that's definitely a very good question, Ronnie. The Apostle Paul warns in Ephesians 5:6, he says that let no man deceive you with vain or empty, meaningless words. I think that in these last days we're living in, there's a lot of people really don't want to serve Christ because it's they don't want to look at themselves or they don't want to have to change because change is not easy. So what happens is they look for something else that appeals to their weaknesses, and therefore you have the rise of seducing doctrines that are not really what Christ had preached about. And these religions and these spin-offs of Christianity are nothing but false teachings designed to put people in bondage and to steer them down the wrong path. So they're going to be forever learning but never truly coming to the full knowledge. And therefore, it nullifies Christ's act of redemption on the cross for their sins. So there are a lot of you know weirdo type
belief systems out there, religions, movements that profess to know the way and to profess that they have salvation, available for people, which really they do not. So a lot of the New Age stuff wild and crazy type, explanations to, spirituality and, that people's futures and destinies and what heaven's really about. So that's what I would say.
And so, Daryl, well, before I go into what I was going to ask Daryl, I was going to add on to, for whether you're a believer or not, there's a difference between a Bible-believing person who just goes by the Scripture and someone who would be religious, because the spirit of, the people who are, trying to find their spirit or, reincarnation, that's religious as well. And so there is a difference. I just wanted to let that be known. But to Daryl, I wanted to ask you, on the same topic of these wolves in sheep's clothing, these doctrines that, seem smooth on the outside, but they, they're really, death on the inside. Let's say, here's the question to you, Daryl. Let's say that someone feels that there's more to life than the physical, but it's just a journey. What would you say to that? I mean, they would just categorize it as just a journey. There's no where to end up. There's nowhere to start. It's just a journey, and you're swimming in a pool, and there's nothing to hold on to. What would you say to that?
For someone who gone through something like that. Like even myself, like I said, what I've done is just shunned the world off, took some time off of myself, and I asked the Lord to work in me, because I learned that if we don't know who we are in Christ, we will be lost in the world. And with someone who has an attitude like that, I always ask them, do you have faith? Do you believe? And the first thing I do is say, if you have faith, walk in faith, not by sight. Don't look to see where you're going. Go, let God lead you. Let the word lead you to where you need to be at. And in order to do that, you have to let go of self. You have to let go of everything of the world. And I let them know that it's not an easy thing to do, because as human beings on planet Earth, we are manipulated by the news, by videos, by other friends, the media. So in order to do that, you got to shun off the things of the world. You got to know that when you're watching television, if you're not looking at it for an education on life, what you should be doing in life, cut it off. If the music you're listening to, if you're listening to the music, and I'm not the one to say, secular music is bad, because I love jazz. And I use jazz to relax me, allows me to be able to meditate on the word, because there's not a lot of words in jazz. But if whatever you listen to leads you down that path where you used to go, ooh, man, I used to be able to this chick, we used to listen to this, we used to cut it off. So I point people in the direction to, if you say you're a Christian and you have faith and you trust in the Lord, give them all of you. Because we as Christians, as I learned in the past, that I used to say, Lord, you have all of me, take me. But I never really gave it all. I kept some to myself. And I learned that that part of me was allowed to be manipulated, or me manipulating others. So I had to learn to shut that part of me off, and I learned that by shutting that off, it's a better me. Not only that, I look in the mirror and I see a better me, I also become a better me in my friends' eyes, my coworkers' eyes, my kids' eyes, even female friends' eyes, that I want to illuminate the Christ-like in me. I want to always shine my light. So I've learned that I got to shut the world off and, like you said, get more into the Bible, read the Bible, not a religious thing, not try to eat, really, like, say, well, you got to eat this or you got to do this. Or you got to know, when you, like you said, being a religious and being a Bible Christian is two different things. Religious is a routine. It's something that you do constantly because you think that's going to get you closer to God. Reading the Bible and listening to the scripture and actually, I'm not really going to say reading, I'm reading and studying the Bible, because I learned that when you study the Bible, you could be able to adapt it to what's going on in the world today. And you could be able to adjust yourself in the world today by not just reading the Bible, but studying, getting to the root of the scripture or the root of the situation you're going through. You could be able to apply it to a scripture in the Bible and be able to say, okay, now I understand what they're trying to say. Because today's world and today's society makes the Bible look so foreign that you could get caught up in the world real quick thinking that, oh, man, this is not right. But I learned that not just reading it, actually studying it. And when I'm stuck, I'll call up and I say, hey, listen, I'm stuck on this. So we got to, like I said, we have to learn not just to talk to our fellow Christians and try to get ourselves right when it comes to being wolfish and clothing, but even get ourselves right when it comes to reading the Bible. Because the Bible can be misread constantly. If you don't understand the language, you don't understand what they were trying to say in the Bible, you can get caught up in the world by allowing the world, like, say, okay, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I tend to not only read, I study the Bible. I call on my fellow Christians to help me get through certain things. And that's first by shutting off the world and allowing Jesus Christ to enter my heart and be the guideline to where I'm going. If I hope that answers your question.
That was very helpful. That was very helpful. And so, you know, tonight's topic is the wolves in sheep clothing. We covered some forms of manipulation and deception in the world. We've addressed some manipulation and deception in the church, and regardless whether it's in the church or in the world, its root is spiritual. And so to defeat it, to defend yourself from it, to avoid it and spot it before it affects you, you do got to be pretty much walking in the spirit. And so for those that are that there might be a group of people that you deal with that don't even realize that they're acting like manipulators or deceivers or wolves in sheep clothing. So I found this little top 11 list to show the wolves in sheep clothing, so you can, you know, have some kind of a map. And so the thing is, I'm going to just kick this off by saying, once you see the signs that point to Wolfsville, you know, what do you do? The Bible says in Matthew 15:14, and so I'm going to tell you the context. He was dealing with people who were religious or traditional, because a lot of the wolf in sheep clothing, they might be working this way due to a force of habit, you know, something that they were taught that was wrong, or they were misled into believing this is how you do things. So really to them it's just a tradition. And, you know, the things that are coming out of their mouths and their actions could be coming from their hearts due to the miseducation. And so in the Matthew 15:14, the Savior starts off by saying that we should ignore them because they're blind guides leading the blind, and if they're in the lead, whoever follows them falls in a ditch. So the thing is, if you're dealing with someone who's got this mentality, whether they notice it or not, if you try to play tug of war with them, you'll only end up in a ditch. If you try to follow them, meaning follow their lead, because they might just be trying to get under your skin. When you let them under your skin, it could cost you your job. It could cost you your integrity. And so I'm going to just kick this list off, and it might be helpful to you, too, because if you get offended by anything on this list, you know, just take it as something to work on. And so, number one, if you, whether you're in the workplace, whether you're in your house, whether you're in your neighborhood, whether you're in your church, these are the things you want to look for to help somebody out of it or to just straight avoid them so that you don't fall into a ditch. So the first one is gossip. If you're dealing with a gossip, that's probably a sign. If they're easily offended when you're trying to correct them, if they misuse scripture or just the truth, if someone's always trying to bend the truth, you probably got a live one. If they speak against legitimate authority, whether it be the boss, whether it be the man of the house, whether it be, you know, the pastor of the church, if they always got a problem with legitimate authority, you know, that's probably somebody you don't want to invest too much time in. I'm not saying ignore these people and let them rot. I'm saying all you could do is sow a seed that might help them. That actually means, you know, try to give them one advice, but don't sit there and tug a war with them. You'd be better off just trying to help them. Once you see they don't want it, avoid them. Number five would be they're always right, even when they're wrong. They're always looking for fights, not necessarily physical, but they're into discord. They're into arguments. They don't want the whole truth, just what suits them. So they're into the traditional. They're not into truth. They've got to figure it out, and they don't care if they're doing it wrong. And so, or they're always vying for power or control. Or they want to undermine. This is for the churches. You can tell you got a live one when they want to undermine the work of the body as the Messiah commanded. Like, we're called to be the salt and the light of the world. Anybody who wants to come against that is probably not for Christ. And so, you know, the Savior said, avoid them because they're blind and they'll only lead whoever follows them into a ditch. And they never or unwillingly admit that they're wrong. If you got to force somebody to admit they're wrong when everyone knows they're wrong, they need either you sow a seed of truth into their life or you just avoid them because they can only lead you into a ditch. And the last one is they're proud. And us believers know that pride comes before the fall. And so those are just a few signs to see if someone, because they might be, these traits here might come from, they might be crying for help. They might be, you know, just manipulators. They might not know what they're doing, but it's definitely should alarm you or make you aware that this person is either in need of help or you need to avoid them. And so that's pretty much it. You guys got any closing comments or, you know, encouragement for whoever may be listening?
Definitely. You mentioned a question you asked Daryl was about, you know, how to identify, you know, how to, you know, protect yourself from, you know, emotional manipulators. And I would just encourage people to, you know, act on your own merits. Not based upon how someone makes you how someone makes you feel. Definitely trust the discernment that God has given you. You know, and not for the non-believers out there, you know, I really would encourage you to really, you know, really try to seek who God is, because with that knowledge, with that alliance with God, your Creator, the Creator of the universe, you can go so further in life, so far in life, that it will enable you to be on top in every area. And I would also say, you know, just trust in your, you know, discernment, like I just said. You know, stick to the facts. When you're arguing with emotionally manipulated people, stick to the facts. Don't try to open your, you know, don't try to defend yourself. You know, stick to the facts and let the truth speak for itself. And also stop manipulative interactions as quickly as you can. You know, use short responses and the conversational leave. Limit the time you spend with this person or people or group if you can, and know your boundaries and stick to them. And don't take threats personally. Detach yourself so there's no longer it's no longer can be used as a pressure tactic. Get stronger by knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. Staying firm in your beliefs and your values and in your faith. And you know, and get validation from fellow believers, like, you know, like ourselves, like people that you may know who believe in God. Let them validate you in the Word and encourage you. And I would say that you know, once you've identified that this person uses emotional manipulation as a tactic, I would say walk away. You know.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Dale, you want to say anything to the people before we get out of here?
Well, I really can't because I'm inside the office right now trying to get my truck loaded. But Raz pretty much said what I was going to say about just surround yourself with true Christians and just remember to stay prayed up and just, most importantly, stay true to you, stay true to your God. God
right
will
on.
Never leave you.
Well, that's it, pretty much. Raz, what you want to say?
Man, I thought it was a good show. You did a good job co-hosting the show, Ronnie. And
that's right.
You did an awesome job, and I hope that this really covered a lot of areas that people may be struggling in and having, you know, encountering situations and circumstances that have to do with you know, wolves and sheep's clothing and manipulators, man. And one thing that really that I took away from this, I learned a lot by making sure that I myself, as you know, always having to check myself as a believer, that I don't exhibit any of those symptoms that will cause me to be a wolf's sheep's clothing. So I think as believers, for those of us who are believers, we need to examine ourselves. It doesn't mean that we're bad people. It doesn't mean that we're hypocrites. It just means that there's areas in our lives that maybe still need work on, because we're all work in progress. We're not perfect people, but we're righteous, you know, through the actions of Christ on the cross. And so that's my comment, brother.
That's good. That's good. And, you know, to whoever's listening, you know, we thank you for listening. For the, you know, online listeners, we thank you for listening. We just, you know, we encourage everybody to stay tuned for the show Friday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time to 9:30. You know, can we talk? You know, you can bring us topics. You can get into the show. And, you know, we just want it to be a blessing to anybody who's listening. You know, we'll always be speaking the truth. You know, everything we say, you can go look it up. You can try it out for yourself and see that it's nothing but the truth. So with that, you know, I'm just going to say good night and thank you.
Definitely. And if you don't mind, Ron, I want to add that if they have a topic they want to discuss, you know, please call us to the show at 347-945-7310. Or email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com.
What's that email again?
It's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com.
Right on.
All right.
We ride on 24. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Every whip on 24s. Every crib got 50 foes. Don't get nervous. Paying top finally paid off. You ain't never seen a church boy riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curve. Every whip on 24s. Every crib got 50 foes. Don't get nervous. Paying top finally paid off. Ride on 24, we let them people know. In city and state we go, can't keep that name on low. Deep in switching lane, both me and their rest of name. The field don't play no game, see someone on the chain. Standing and riding high, string Jesus when I'm riding by. Where you gonna be when you die? I'ma be in the sky. We ride on 24, don't have to sell no drugs. Music to get that Peace the gospel to the poor. Cadillac on, Maybach on, Bentley coupe on, share the hoop on. Got them, then I give away. Why, cause God said give away. But the more I give away, I got more coming back to me. You give, you plenty more. Get the wheel with plenty doors. Stacked up with plenty flow. Don't forget to thank the Lord. Life with pride, don't think twice. We ride on 24.